we're going to concentrate a little bit on the Gemara in the beginning of Zochim. Specifically, something interesting that we find that there is inheritance as it relates to Karbonus. I mean, that somebody had a Karbon and died, his heirs have the right and the responsibility, the obligation to bring the Karbon. We'll start out first with the Mishnah in the beginning of Zvachim. First Mishnah says, Kol ha-Zvachim she-nizbuchu she-loi lishmon k'sherim, ele she-loi oi u-ba'am shem chayvah. Any, all the Karbonis which were, which has improper intent, they're kosher, in other words, they're not disqualified, ele she-loi oi u-ba'am shem chayvah. That means that the person who is required to bring them must bring another person. What kind of person made a nether?
A ray, a lie, or a...
So he's required to bring an error. And at the time of the bringing this error, there was a stupid solution, there was improper intent. We still continue to bring the error, and we bring it on the Mizbeach. However, the owner, the person who is required to bring it, must bring another carbon. So to with Shlomim, the carbon Oshem, all the carbonists, his responsibility is not to fulfill. However, the carbon is not disqualified. So this interesting mix of the carbon being not disqualified, however, the responsibility and not being fulfilled, the Shlokish asks on this. And the Gemara that says, "Roman Reish Lachish Amri Ben Midrasha Reish Lachish Er Umachshi In Sherim Hain Miratzu Bin Ein Miratzu Lama Bori." In other words, if the carbon is a kosher carbon, then the responsibility should be fulfilled. And why must the person bring another carbon? His responsibility is to bring a carbon. This carbon is not disqualified. So therefore, if the carbon is not disqualified, let it be. Let us fulfill the responsibility. Then any lasting one man born. And if it does not fulfill the responsibility, so where do we see such a covenant? A covenant is made to fulfill the responsibility of someone who promised to make a nether or has another obligation to be a covenant. And if this covenant is also disqualified from fulfilling responsibility, so it seems that it is not the carbon which the person has responsibility to bring, so why would the person bring it at all? Because when we see a precedent for such a carbon, for a carbon which does not fulfill responsibility, and still it is brought. We have a precedent. A person, after he dies, we still bury the carbon, although there's no responsibility to the dead person. The dead person cannot have any more kapara from the carbon. It cannot be for his merit anymore, the carbon. He's now already a mason choshen, he has no more chiyuvim, and he has no more schusim once he has died. However, the carbon is still brought. It's kosher. Where do we see that it's brought? The Tanan, Mishnah, and the end of the Kinyan. Ha'isha she'hiviya chatosa u'meisa, yaviyu yoshu o'yosa. A woman who has given birth is mechuyev to bring two karbonos, a karbon chatos and a karbon oil. So if she had already brought her karbon chatos, and she died before she had a chance to bring karbon oil, the yoshim, her heirs, are required to bring her oil. Although, Rabbi Lezer brings the precedent, although the obviously it cannot be chalked up for the kapara of the woman who died, and she's no longer responsible to bring the carbon. However, still the carbon is brought. So therefore, we see a precedent for this idea that a carbon could be brought, although it's not fulfilling the responsibility. The responsibility can no longer be sold. However, the carbon is sold. So this brings us to the discussion in general of the idea of bringing a carbon for somebody who has died. There are many aspects of the heirs being the carbon. One is to fulfill the responsibility of the dead person, you see. So one is to fulfill the responsibility of the carbon itself. And on another hand, they themselves have their own personal responsibility to bring the carbon. We're going to try to discuss these three aspects of a carbon, this interesting idea of a carbon being brought and a chiyuv being fulfilled for somebody who's already died. So let's try to analyze it in the original source. The Gemara says in Kiddushin as follows. This that we learned in the Mishnah, that a woman who brought a chatos and died, the Yoshin has responsibility to bring her oil, Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmur, the whom she has been shofar l'chayim. This responsibility is only if the mother had already taken off of the homer and been not to shofar carbon. She separated the carbon and made it kaddish when she was alive. Aber what you been shofar l'chayim? If she had not separated the carbon, so there was only a question of the responsibility, a chiyuv to bring. But she did not have a specific behemoth which she's going to bring for a carbon. Well, there's no responsibility for the yoshim. Says the Gemara, Alma Kitzover Shibud Elav De'Eraisa. The Gemara says, from that we see that Shibud is not De'Eraisa. What's the idea of Shibud? The idea of Shibud translated, John to me, Ali. Which means that if the idea of Shibud Deraisa is that although a person is not here or he has died, still his possessions are themselves responsible for all his responsibilities. It relates to the question of a loan. If somebody borrowed money, according to the mother Shibud Deraisa, even if he died, we can collect the loan from his property. And even although the property is passed on to the heirs, and the heirs do not have any responsibility for the loan. However, the property itself has a shibud on it. There's a lien on the property. So it's true for other monetary responsibilities, such as if somebody made a hazard, if somebody damaged someone else's property, or somebody stole, or any monetary responsibility. According to my government, shibud is there, right? So there's a response, although the prisoner has passed on and we cannot. We cannot bring that person to a bin, and we cannot make him responsible anymore for his died, but his property is responsible. And we take the property from the heirs. However, there's another man that should be allowed the Raisa. But with the Raisa, there is no chiyuv for the heirs to pay, and if there's no personal liability, because the person is passed on, then there's no liability, there's no lien on the property anymore. The Gemara says, according to the Manda Omer Shibur Lav Deraisa, if we say that there's no longer a lien on the property, therefore we say that there's no necessity to bring the carbon once it's done. If the carbon had already been separated, then the carbon belongs to Hagdish. And the carbon itself, because of its Kedusha, needs to be brought to the Beis Hamikdash. However, if she has, although she had a responsibility to bring the carbon, but if she did not have that answer, then the responsibility expires when she dies. But there's another mandama, Amr of Yati, Amr of Yechanan, Amr of Gav Shalei Tishul Echayim. Even though she has not separated the cousin while she was alive, the heirs have responsibility to bring the cousin for this issue. Amr of Kisabu Shibuda Hunda Yaitza. From this we see that Shibur is the Raisa. So the author claimed that Shibur is the Raisa. Since there was a responsibility on the mother to bring the carbon, therefore the heirs must bring the carbon, even though she never separated this carbon. That's a very, very interesting idea if we look at it as it relates to carbon. You know, the idea of Shibur is the Raisa we understand very well as far as monetary responsibilities. A person has a monetary responsibility. He owns $100. And he has $100 of property. So while he's alive, the debtor could have come and take his $100 of property. He has a lien on the property. Therefore, that responsibility does not dissipate even when the person dies. And he can continue to collect even though he has died because she's doing the right thing. However, when it comes to carbon, is the responsibility a monetary responsibility? The responsibility is a matter, or in this case, a chinuch, that when you have the woman in order to become Torah, once she has had a child with a chiv not Torah, she has a chiv, it's a mitzvah responsibility. She has an obligation as far as the mitzvah to bring the carbon. So even if we hold she being very isol, even if we hold that there could be a lien on her property, but how does that require the Yoshim to bring the carbon? And to analyze from a different angle, let's say there could be a responsibility. But the responsibility is to bring the carbon for this person has responsibility. It's no longer possible for her to bring the carbon because the woman is dead. A dead person cannot be the owner of the carbon. There's no kapara for a dead person of the carbon. So therefore, although the responsibility may exist, but the possibility for fulfilling responsibility seemingly has passed. So how do you understand this idea of bringing the carbon for somebody who already died, even though most of the life, still, who do you need the carbon for? Why do you need the carbon? So like we said, if the carbon exists, we see the first facet, that a carbon for itself, once a person makes the carbon, whether he can be mekayem the din, whether he has a chiyuv still, a personal obligation to be a carbon or not, still, the carbon must be brought. It has hagdish, and this halacha, and the halacha of a carbon is there must be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. Even though it's both personal responsibility, the responsibility passes on, so it remains in the carbon, although the person is no longer here. But now we see something deeper. She goes to write that there's a monetary responsibility. That once a person has a chiyuv, it's as if he owns something to the Beit HaMikdash. He owns his carbon to the Beit HaMikdash, although he cannot fulfill his responsibility as far as the mitzvah, still has a monetary responsibility to bring to the Beit HaMikdash. We could have a different understanding here, and that's based on the Gemara that we learn in many places. It says that after a person dies, his heirs inherit the carbon. Where do they inherit the carbon? Now, Although previously their father was considered the owner of the carbon, however, from here further, they are considered the owner of the carbon. One of them, because this is the Gemara here on Homer Bay, which is also especially brought in the Gemara in Tmura and Daf Bay, and in Menachos and Daf Tzadikimu, which says that a Yerush can make Tmura. The halakha of Tmura is that if a person comes to a carbon and says, for whatever reason, he decides that he wants to switch it. And he says that I don't want this carbon to be Kaddish, this behema, I want the other one to be Kaddish. So he's also allowed the Atariah, while Yomer, but not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to switch the Kaddisha. And now we know both of them remain Kaddish. I mean, the first one, the Kaddisha does not go off of the first carbon, and the Kaddisha is Chal in the second carbon. That's called Spirin, we know the second and second Spirin, which deals with this issue. The right or the responsibility not to make tmura belongs only to the owner of the carbon. If someone else would come to the carbon and say, this carbon, it's not this carbon, and he say, I want to switch the kedusha from this carbon to another, it's nothing. Only the bayim can make tmura. But the American department in tmura that says that also a yermish can make tmura. And it would be in the heir is able to it now becomes the owner of the carbon, and he is able to make tmura. So that we see that besides the responsibility of the carbon itself to be brought, there's another responsibility which the heir now becomes the owner of the carbon. That's one facet. Another facet of the heir bringing the carbon is the Gemara says over here that floating kapara. In other words, anyone who brings the carbon, if he's the one who brings it, although it's not his chiyuv, he wasn't responsible for doing it, but if he's the buyer of the carbon, if he's the owner of the carbon, he does receive a certain amount of kapara from this carbon. He has some benefits from the carbon which is called kapara mikufya. Now, if so, We could understand the Gemara that of bringing the carbon la'acha nisa when he says shibur b'raisa, it's for a different reason. It's true, though it's no longer being brought for the mother. However, since there's now an heir to this carbon, and now, so there's, instead of being mechaper on the mother, now it's being mechaper on the child. So our question was, how could it be that we have to be a carbon la'acha nisa? What are we meaning it for? Who's the owner of the carbon? The carbon is not being mechaper whatsoever. But now that we've learned that there's an inheritor for the carbon, the heir, and he is now getting kapara, so we could understand that now, that although the responsibility has passed from the mother, that there is really no right on the son to bring the carbon, because he is now the owner of the carbon, and he can bring the carbon. However, in the Pir Shalosh, in Sefer Kinnon, on this Mishnah, it brings an interesting Tosefta. The Mishnah, as we have it, has agreed that if the woman died after she bore a chatas, then the Yoshim have the responsibility to bring the oila. However, if she died after they brought the oila and they hadn't brought the chatas, the Yoshim have no responsibility to bring the chatas. And the idea is, we know that chatas shemeisa b'ayol l'nisa agwa. A chatas, once the oila has died, so there's no reason for it. It has to die. The behem has to die. Why? Because a chatas, it's a halakha mishnah Sinai, that we learn, a chatas can only be brought, if he's an owner, and it's only brought for an avela or a chiyuv. Chatas is not brought the mezuzah. A person cannot donate a chatas to the Beis HaMikdash. He needs a responsibility to bring it. So therefore, once the owner died and there's no responsibility, there's no more chiyuv, if it was a chatas of an avela, so the person doesn't need a kapara anymore, he's died. If it was a chatas of a yerevet, the person doesn't need to be, she doesn't need to become Torah anymore. And if it's a chatas of Meitzah Baalel, and for me, Tashla. So therefore, our Mishnah means that if she had brought her oila and not yet brought the chatas, the person has no responsibility to need a chatas, because the chatas cannot be brought without an owner. However, the Rosh, Birchalash brings a Tosefta that has the opposite jurisdiction and says that if she brought her oila and she died, the Yoshim do bring the chatas. So the Rosh discusses to try to explain this Tosefta, this Torah's claiming, and the Rosh comes to the conclusion that the jurisdiction is it's improper jurisdiction, and the truth is like our Mishnah. The way it says in our Mishnah that we cannot bring a chatas after Misha. However, after she brings a pirush from the Ritzva. And the Ritzva says, I've explained the Kayim of Girsa. In other words, he explains the Torah's Kayim with the Girsa as it says, that we can't bring the chatas. So, our chatas should make the Balor and Misha ask, no, how do you bring fruit from the Kayim? If the animal was here, and it was Erechir to bring a chatas, and the owner died, then there's nothing to do with the behemoth. To example, that's the creatures. Hibish chatas umeis, loyav bnei akrov. The son can't bring it, even if the son had his own avera. That's the father is chayav, and the son also is chayav. The son cannot bring it, because the owner had died. If a hoche ayam at nisim, the loyav bnei chatas. So the Mishnah in Kinnon says, they cannot bring the chatas, that's speaking where she had already taken the chatas. Avahimita is claiming Ayin Bashawai Yifrishu Mechayim Okumanda Omer Shibu Be'laisa V'yaviyu Yoshim Chatos Adiktonim Lohi Shiyakriva Achatos Ere Shiyakriva Me'adonim Kimei Shiyakriva Me'yamei Shachatos Kegon Shibu Be'es Chatos. In other words, we have a din that what happens if somebody wanted to be sure, he wanted to make sure that he has a covenant for his chatos, so he took two bands. One was for the chatas, one is for insurance. So we have the insurance chatas also has kedusha, but everybody doesn't have to buy. What do we do with it? We bring it we sell it, or we bring it for an oil. So we see there's such an idea of the money of the chatas having a hakram of a carbon oil. This oil is the oil of tzibur, the oil of kekam is there. it's the chaplet is taught as oil, not as a personal oil, but the money is given for an oil as a result of the Beis Hamikdash as the oil tzibur. So the Rishba learns that this Tarishkanim, which says that the Yoshim can bring the chaplet, is speaking about whether there's money for a chaplet, and whether there's money for a chaplet, we bring the chaplet as a monetary responsibility as an oil. So here we see that the idea of bringing the korban after Nisa is not a question of the Yoshim inheriting the korban, and therefore they become now the owners of the korban, and they are able to bring it as individual owners. But there is a responsibility on the mate per se that he must bring the korban from his money. Although he cannot have the kiyum, he can't actually bring a bringer of the korban, he can't bring a mechaper from the korban. Still, we see a new idea, an idea that when a person has a responsibility to do a korban besides the mitzvah, there's also a monetary responsibility. And therefore, even though he died, and in order to bring a korban, still the money that the korban would have cost, he must bring to the mitzvah. So this is the first thing that we see from a chata, from a korban of a person who died, is that there's an individual, there's a responsibility still for the person who died from his estate to bring the korban, which is not directly related to the fact that the yerush, that the heir is now bringing the korban, but that's something he's bringing for the person from his estate. This would be true even if he had no heirs. Still, when we bring from his legation, we bring from his estate a korban because his estate without the fact that now the yerush, the heir, has the korban, he himself is the chayav a korban from his money. This responsibility goes so far to the fact that if some according to Manda Mishigur the Raita, if for some reason the korban is disqualified, then you have to do another korban. I mean, that let's say this oil which the mother left was brought to the Beis Hamikdash, and the Tehillim made a pig oil or something small that the korban was disqualified. The responsibility of doing another korban. I mean, the monetary responsibility extends to being yoked for the korban. The person should bring a kosher korban to his bech, even though there's no mitzvah for them, but there's a monetary responsibility to bring a korban. So that's point one. Point one is the responsibility which the dead person has to bring a korban. But now there's another facet, and that's the facet of the Yerush, like we said, that the Yerush becomes the Baal HaKorban, that he can make tmura, and another deal which is given to the heir is the halacha that anyone who redeems hekdesh, so he redeems, let's say, a korban at the moon, or any other which redeems for face value. However, the Baalim, the owner, the person who is makdish himself, When he was part of the korban, he has to add a chomish. He brings 125% of the volume he has to pay. And the yoyrish also gets this halacha, he gets this thing. He's considered the owner of the korban in as much that if he's part of it, he has to be much of chomish. So here we have one of the things we see, a very interesting idea in inheritance, that inheritance is different than other monetary transfers. It means that there are many things that we see in the Gemara that although they cannot be transferred monetarily, however, they can be inherited. Like we spoke a few weeks ago about Isur Hanor, something which is also by law, has no monetary value, and therefore cannot be sold. However, the Gemara says in Kedushin that it can be inherited. The same thing we saw, we have a locker of an eved, which the owner already has no monetary, he's given up his monetary rights to the eved, that he retains the rights to give him the get shikur, in other words, until he will set him free, he won't become a full-fledged Jew to be able to marry a Jew. And he can no longer sell the eved. However, his heirs inherit. And here too, with a korban, they inherit something which cannot be sold. And if a person has a korban, such a korban, he cannot sell it. However, it can be inherited. It means that it's transferable through inheritance, you can transfer the buyers the ownership. It's not monetary ownership, but it's the ownership which the Torah said the certain halachas which only apply to the owner, such as making tzvurah, or such as getting kapara, or such as doing work of chaimish, and these can be transferred to the heir. So here we have the second idea, that the heir is able to yashin, he's able to inherit a kerma. Now we're going to discuss a third point, and that is exactly what status does the heir have as far as this kerma is concerned. So the Gemara says, and that's Dalin, the most of this parrot deals with two problems of intent when a person is doing a carbon. One of two problems of intent, which are called Shini Kodesh and Shini Bailam. Shini Kodesh is if it was brought for improper carbon. A person had a carbon oil, and when he shuffled it, he had intent that it was a carbon shlomim. Or it was a carbon shlomim or carbon oil. This is called Shini Kodesh. Shini Bailam is when a person had a carbon, and at the time of the Shini Kodesh, he was going to die instead of going to Peruvian, he was going to be Shimon. It is called Shimon Bailam. One is for the improper for the improper carbon, and one is for the improper order of the carbon. Then you call it again Shimon Kodesh, the improper carbon, the wrong Kedusha. Shimon Bailam is a change of ownership for the improper owner. So the Gemara said, and that Dalad is looking for the differences between Shimon Kodesh and Shimon Bailam, and it says that Shimon Kodesh exists even after the owner dies, whereas Shimon Bailam does not exist once after the owner dies. Why is that? The carbon after the owner dies still can be brought, so if the owner could still go to the shlomim. However, once the owner dies, there's no one getting kapara. So what does it mean for somebody else? The original owner is also not getting kapara, and therefore there's no Shimon Kodesh. But the Gemara says afterwards that Pinchas, the Rebbe of Moran, says, Yei Shimi Baal Machamisa. There is Shimi Baal Machamisa. Not for the original owner, because the original owner has no longer a kapara, but there's a Shimi Baalim for the Yerush. Now, since the Yerush is considered from now the owner of the carbon, therefore we can also make Shimi Baalim. This halacha that the heir is now considered owner kapara is universal. However, the question is how much. Everybody knows that he has a certain amount of ownership and he gets a kapara from the carbon mikupya. However, the Pirkus Ben of Mary says he becomes so much of the owner that if my intent is to bring the carbon for somebody else, it becomes possible just as if when the person arrives if I shuffle for somebody else. So the Pirkus Ben of Mary says that he may buy him. So the Gemara and Abzayin on Beis discusses to what extent there is where Pinchas consider the Yerush of Bailam and the Kohen. So the Gemara says, when Pinchas is bringing up on the Yerush Bailam and Achar Misa. Omer Rav Asher Pinchas, Rav Asher Yeshiv Bindu Rav Ani, Dato Komenar, Yesh Baal Nachamisa Uboi Yisuya Oil Achliti, Or Yomo Yehiko Kamehaf Gabay Mechapla. To which extent you consider him the owner? You consider him the owner so much so that if we change the Bailam or we vote for somebody else, he'll be required to bring another carbon. Or just in considering the Bailam for the fact that he can't get a kapara with a kaparami cookie, that if he has a two happens, it's considered that he's the owner, that he's bringing the carbon. But his name is not, the carbon is not called in his name to the extent that if I'll check it with somebody else, it becomes possible. On the way, Dafka Kamina. He says, Dafka. In other words, I consider him the total owner, and now that will be said that Ein Shimi Baal Machamisa, according to the Pinchas B'Rei Rav Ani, Yei Shimi Baal Machamisa. He is the owner. So, the two facets we have to explore here. The first idea here is that through inheritance, although he was not the one who made the nether, or maybe he wasn't even the person who had the chiyuv, like by the woman who had a chiyuv called him because she was a yerevis, still, the inheritance, it's so much so that now it transfers from being the covenant of the marriage to his covenant. And he is now what we called before, it's called owner of the one, and now it's called the owner of the sovereign. The man, he's considered the Bialim. That his name is calling the covenant, if we're not just for somebody else, it's possible. That's one aspect. The other aspect is even more amazing. It says in the Gemara that if the covenant is impossible, he's required to bring another covenant. So, granted that he can inherit the covenant to affect that it becomes his. But where did he get a responsibility to bring a new cousin? Why did he have to bring a new cousin if the first one became possible? For all two reasons. Either it's because he made a nether. A person had a lie. A person had to bring a nether. He had to bring a cousin. He has a nether. He's a clear. When the cousin became possible, it either not fulfilled nether. So whether because of his nether, he has to bring another cousin. That's one reason. Or because he had some outstanding chiyuv to bring the cousin, such as he had a chiyuv to bring the cousin, and therefore she had to bring another cousin because the first cousin is the same person, so she has not yet fulfilled the obligation. So that, as far as the person who itself has an independent chiyuv, has independent responsibility to bring the cousin. However, for the Yerush, it's true that he's inherited the covenant, but what is inheriting the covenant that can bring him a responsibility to bring the covenant? So from this, the Melech Lenin, who learned that the idea of Achrayus, or responsibility of the covenant, does not relate directly to the nether, to the Bayah, or the Zvorin, to the Melech Lenin, but it has to do with the covenant itself. If a person has a covenant, has responsibility to bring it, he has responsibility to bring it properly, and therefore, if it becomes possible, he's going to bring another one even without the nether. So therefore, it's possible for the Yemish, through the fact that he inherited the carbon, not only did he get the schutim of the carbon, now he got the chayus of the carbon, then he's required to bring another carbon. However, I think that really the simpler shot of the Gemara is different. The Gemara says that, the Gemara says that he's required to bring a carbon, another carbon, doesn't mean that he has to bring another carbon from his own money. That the Yerush must bring a carbon from his own money. But the Gemara said before that the man that should bring their Raisa, if somebody died and left a carbon and the carbon became possible, we have to bring another carbon. However, we said, how is it possible that it became possible? Shini Kodesh. It was possible Shini Kodesh. If we changed from the Aaron of first Shonim, then it became possible. And then from the estate, we have to bring another carbon. However, Shini Bayim, it was impossible because the person was dead. So therefore, the estate will become responsible because it becomes even become possible because it's kosher even with Shini Bayim. However, according to the Rabbani, there is a Bayim to this carbon. Who's the Bayim? The Yerush. So therefore, if the Yerush, if the carbon became possible, who's going to be responsible? He'll be responsible to bring, but he'll be responsible to bring from the state of the Yerush. In other words, the only thing that he is machadish, the brings the Rabbani, is now there is an owner. If there is an owner, the carbon can become possible. If the carbon becomes possible, then the person who's responsible to bring the carbon will be responsible to bring another carbon. Who's responsible to bring another carbon? The original mayor, the one who you want to bring from the state. The mayor should bring the answer. So we go for two possibilities in the Gemara. One of our chiddush to say that once a person inherits a carbon, he's inherited even the achrayus, then he's responsible on his own to bring a new carbon, because once he's inherited the carbon, he so much has become all of the carbon that he even has the responsibility to make sure it's brought. Or that he's only become the Bayim, and there's the fact that now this carbon could become possible to be Bayim. But he doesn't have an independent responsibility to bring another carbon, but still, it's possible the carbon become possible in Shini Bayim, and therefore the original owner, which is the man, will have to bring a carbon from his estate.